This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Have you ever dreamt of just throwing in the job and sailing around the world? For a lot of people, there is nothing more enticing than the idea of taking off in a boat and living simply at sea. But even if it's not your dream, it's always nice to do a bit of vicarious travelling, don't you think? So what does it take to make a dream like that a reality? And what's it really like when you're out at sea for the 163rd day in a row? Well, Nancy Nudston and her husband Ted Nobbs took off on a 5-year adventure that took them across 3 oceans and 42 countries. Hi, Nancy. Thanks for your time this morning.
Hi, Katrina. Hi.
Yeah, when did you first develop your love of sailing?
Oh, well, when I arrived in Sydney, as a Queenslander, I was a bit of a landlubber because there wasn't as much sailing that went on up there. But when I came down to Sydney and got out on the harbour for the first time, I think I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. It was really quite transforming for me. So I was very much in love with sailing, but of course knew nothing.
Yeah.
So it took a few years to get to race around the boys and then to do ocean racing. And then, of course, I met my husband through sailing.
And where did this crazy idea of sailing around the world develop? And when did you sort of... You know how whenever you have one of these ideas, there's kind of a moment when you kind of realise that you're actually talking about it as if it's going to happen? How did that all come about?
Oh, yes, that was, well, the thing was that my original idea was merely to live on a boat to try to give us some escape from the madness that we had all around us, you know, living a very... What is it, material life, consumer-driven, typical inner-city people, both of us with jobs that kept us working very late into the evening and very little time off, and it was meant as a kind of escape. But the idea grew. And in fact, Shooting Stars and Flying Fish is actually about the way what happens to you when you, for one reason or other, step into the void. You know, it happens to lots of people. For us, it happened voluntarily, but we had no idea what would happen.
Yeah, right. So, well, I can only imagine that in 5 years, I mean, the thing that strikes me is that there must have been some terrifying moments. Were there any situations you found yourself in where you're like, oh, I don't know if we're going to get through this?
There was one towards the beginning of the journey when we were 8 months in the Maldives, and the book actually starts with that moment because that was quite a pivotal moment for us. After we survived that particular moment where we were on a reef and the engine was stuck and couldn't go, and, you know, that can mean the end of a boat.
How did you get out of that?
After we survived that together, with a combination of determination, fear, going cold and getting precise and just doing things that you didn't know you'd be capable of, and some luck, some luck from the local inhabitants in the Maldives who helped us. But after that, it gave us a lot more confidence. You know, we'd done it and we'd survived. And I think in arrears, we thought it was a good thing that it had happened.
Yeah, I can see that. And obviously, I mean, you visited so many amazing places. We probably can't talk about them all. But was there a place that you visited that you particularly connected with or fell in love with? I mean, in the book, there's a photo of you and Ted having lunch on the island of Paros, and I just about fell in love with that just from the photo.
Yes, beautiful island, much more interesting than Mykonos too. But it would have to be Turkey.
You spent a lot of time there, didn't you?
Well, we went there for 3 weeks and stayed 2 years.
Yeah.
And completely left the boat and were completely entranced by Istanbul and the new lifestyle that we miraculously found ourselves in, because Ted was out of the blue in a bay having a drink with some other cruisers whom we told we were going to... We decided to stay in Turkey for the winter instead of going to Italy, which was overcrowded anyway. And we went... the person we were having a drink with turned out to be the president of an Istanbul university, and he said, oh, if you're going to stay in Turkey for the winter, you should come and teach at my university.
Hmm.
So they gave us a nice house near the university, and we went to Istanbul, and out of the blue, we were living this very, very unusual, very inspiring life in one of the great cities of the world.
And what was it about Istanbul that you enjoyed and that sort of captivated you?
Well, first of all, the people. We just love the Turkish people. And we had met them, and that's what made us, decide to stay for the winter. But in Istanbul, it has it's a stimulating city. It has the most amazing history. It goes back thousands of years.
Right.
It's a beautiful city. It's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And the people are lovely. I mean, it just, for us, it seemed to have it all.
I was amazed seeing the photos of your apartment, just how beautiful the streets were and how colourful.
Yes. Oh, yes, it's very, very, it's a lovely city, as no doubt many people listening to this will know who've been there, because a lot of people share our love of the Turkish people and Turkey with us.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, you had many adventures and many things happened to you, but
yeah.
what was it like coming back after all that? I mean, what struck you as odd or different about Australia? Maybe firstly in a superficial way, I guess, but yes. When you returned, what were the things you were like, why do they do it like this?
Well, in a superficial way, in an amusing way, when we arrived back, it was all the rules.
Yeah.
And how everything was very ordered and straight, and all the letterboxes lined up and
yeah.
the rubbish bins lined up. And for all the world, you would think that grass was something artificial. It was so perfect.
Yeah.
Whereas we'd been floating through the South Pacific, where all is absolutely gorgeous but totally chaotic.
Yes.
And suddenly we're faced with, and there were rules everywhere. You could do this and you couldn't do that, and rules about where you parked, and you know, that was the amusing part. On a deeper level, it was amazing. When we left, I suppose we were pretty typical Sydneyites, mm. and we were a bit scared of losing our lifestyle when we left. It was a frightening thing to do. By the time we came back, we didn't even want our lifestyle back.
Mm.
We'd changed our philosophy, we'd changed our politics, we'd changed our careers. I had begun writing instead of being in business, and I had a job as a journalist, all of which happened while we were sailing. So... Mm. So I suppose the story of Shooting Stars and Flying Fish is the story, certainly, of the adventures we had, but it's sharing that feeling of putting yourself out on a limb, whether voluntarily or whether you're put out on a limb, and finding a new life
mm.
out of the void. And that's what we did. We never went back to Sydney.
And can you tell us, I guess, a little bit more specifically about how your values changed and about how you felt about, I guess, that Sydney lifestyle that you had escaped from, really?
Well, looking back on ourselves, we'd been we were very consumer-driven. We were, we were materialistic.
Hmm.
I think it was a feeling that something was missing, and there was no, what shall I say, harmony or spirituality in our lives.
Yeah.
And by spirituality, I don't mean religion. I mean that feeling that you are at one with the universe.
Uh-huh.
And we got that when we were sailing. And the material, all the houses and the cars, and it just seemed so pointless once we got away from it all. When we came back, we didn't want our possessions back. We didn't want our lifestyle back. We'd become very green because we saw a lot of pollution, very sad pollution along the way.
Hmm.
We observed firsthand how much fish was missing out of the oceans. And so we'd become very green. We'd seen so much spectacular consumerism, awful consumerism, during our travels,
yeah,
that we never wanted to go back to that again. So I suppose we went a long way left in the way we think. We used to think, I suppose, that entrepreneurialism was a great thing, and it is. And if you put energy into your life, you would do well. But it seems to me now, in modern life, that has gone too far. And it's not just entrepreneurialism. It's just downright greed. There's just too much difference between some of the beautiful people we met with nothing and the extremes that we saw on super yachts, where, you know, in 1 hour they would use up, they would have to pay for fuel as much as one of the people on the beach would earn in a year. You know, they were pretty fundamental things to us.
And how's your life different now then?
Oh, well, we couldn't possibly go back to Sydney, so we moved to the country. We are living an independent life in the sense that, well, we've bought some acreage and we're building a little farm, and we're trying to at least put our mouths where our opinions are.
Yeah.
And in our own small way, we have our own electricity and we have our own water, and we are not taking, except for telephone, we are not taking from, from the grid, as it were.
Yeah, sure.
The human grid. We're being productive rather than being
consumers.
Yes, that's right.
All right.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, no, that's lovely. No, thank you. It's been lovely to talk to you, and it's been interesting to hear a little bit about your journey this morning, and perhaps it seems like the change in you might have been more significant even than the things that you saw and that you discovered. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay,
that's what the book's about.
Yeah,
really.
Nancy Knudsen is my guest, and her book is called Shooting Stars and Flying Fish, and it's about her and her husband's 5-year journey around the world.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.